Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is our preview of the national title game. The college football playoff title game. Actually, I should put it that way, right? Because as noted UCF fan and advocate, dare I say Stan, Jason Kirk, quick to point out, what we're going to crown on Monday when Georgia plays Alabama, in the finest battle of two teams from Georgia and exotic, definitely far away Alabama to determine a national title. It'd be a Subway Series if we had any sort of public transportation.
Watch two dads fight over a parking spot at Lowe's.
Yeah. But as Jason is quick to point out, this is a battle between two teams who are not UCF. Isn't that right?
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing is, it's incorrect that Georgia's playing Alabama. Georgia's playing UCF for the national title.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, there's been a misprint, and it's going around, and there's lots of ads and promos. I think maybe they prepped them wrong or something. But Georgia UCF is the scheduled title game. You can look it up. At an outlet you actually trust, I guess.
I mean, if you had to pick which team, let's pick a metric, whether it should be UCF or Alabama, and I don't know. Let's say starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's just use that one. Here we are. Where's Alabama on this list? Nowhere. UCF, they got a playoff quarterback. They got the power of Bortles. They're the cradle of... Now, I know what you're going to say. What about Florida? Nobody's talking about Florida in the national championship game.
No, nobody.
Florida shouldn't even be allowed to buy tickets to the game. Florida should have it black. This game should be blacked out in Gainesville. You should just have to watch a rerun of Frasier. Frasier is delightful and has nothing to do with offense.
Is it offensive though? Does it have offensive humor?
Not really. I mean, some of it hasn't aged super Florida, well. Yeah. Yeah.
So by that metric, let's see. Nick Foles, NFL quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Arizona could be in over Alabama.
Yep. There's a coaching situation there, so
That would be
Hey, I mean, the good news is
Arizona's taken over.
I don't even think, you know what, if Les just rolled up, we joked about this before, like, oh, if they just showed up, would anybody, you know, say anything about it? Haha, that's funny. It ain't a joke. Les Miles rolled up and just started, I don't know, rolling up his sleeves, shaking hands.
Hire Herm Edwards as a defensive coordinator.
I could do it all.
It's not a conflict. I don't believe in conflict. It's not a conflict.
I'm all about conflict.
The only conflict is what other people say you can't do and what you know you can do. And I know I can coach this team's defense and that other whole team.
Maybe they could also hire Scott Frost as offensive coordinator. Just because Scott will finish the drill, right? He'll go, well, I don't know. I'm already working for Nebraska. They'd be like, yeah, but have you considered Arizona?
Oh God, that's going to be Scott Frost's legacy. He's not going to coach at all there. He's just going to go out on loan, and Nebraska will be like, but he's still our coach. Be like, he hasn't shown, guys, he's literally never coached for you, but he's under contract to us, and we just loan him out because we're good and we're good neighbors.
Yeah, based on what I've seen, both teams will go undefeated. If Scott Frost is just coaching half of them, it's just gonna work just fine.
Let's agree that Georgia Alabama is for a national championship. Is that fair?
That's fair.
By the way, if they were to play.
If this hypothetical SEC championship game, which did not happen, were to happen in this bizarro land, and like who could even imagine what this would look like if Georgia were to play Alabama in a SEC championship game of great import during a dream season? Definitely nothing soul-crushing would happen for Georgia. We know that.
Yeah, they would go... They would not just go to the 5-yard line. They would get the ball all the way into the end zone. Just to use a metaphor.
Definitely. Right, right. Or they wouldn't get close, or like they wouldn't toy with emotions. It would either be success or failure, not 95% of success.
Right. Our teams from our state just don't do that.
Right. This is, by the way, is there any state of its size, reputation, money, position geographically, and culture that has underperformed like the state of Virginia? Because
in football,
in anything really, but particularly in football, I know it's ACC territory, right? Which historically has been your best athletes play basketball. That's fine. But for what it is, man, like they're Virginia's so bad. Like they're like sub North Carolina, right? Virginia Tech, don't claim them Virginia. Virginia Tech belongs to the Republic of Appalachia. All right. It is a free state.
That's technically a NASCAR property.
Yeah. And the people that they build, right? They come from all the spots in Virginia where they're sort of excluded by, I don't know, UVA types traditionally. That's who they build, right? You get like people from New Jersey who are like, yeah, I'll get a little culture. I'll go somewhere exotic, like Blacksburg. You get people from like Hampton Roads. You get all of these like sort of, you know, non-typical pipeline, basically like everything you wouldn't think of as like mainline Virginia, right? In the most negative sort of like, I don't know, guy named Tucker kind of way, right? That's Virginia Tech. Don't claim them. You don't get to do that. All right. They do math and they're not cool and they're good at football. So you don't get to claim them.
So we're literally, to be clear, we're, I don't know, 6-ish minutes into our national championship preview. And we're ragging on UVA.
That's correct. If you want to rag on, I mean, and I don't know why we're talking about a national championship when we're talking about Virginia Tech, just to return to another
old joke. Can you say can you say anything good about Richmond before we go?
I have a question.
Yeah.
How did we start talking about Virginia?
I don't know. I have no idea how Spencer led us here.
A random thought, just basically that, you know, Georgia sometimes disappoints when it comes to football, correct? Like our teams.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
Right. Got the state, right? But no state's more disappointing, generally speaking, than the state of Virginia, right?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Unless you're counting them Dukes, baby. Woo! Go JMU.
Yeah, hey, this could be a dual national title preview. The the FCS game, the one no one has any complaints about, like, FCS time. You know, going to be riots in the streets if Bama wins, but the FCS one is—it's a 1-2. It's totally legit. It's what they would have set up before the season began. Everyone's happy.
Everything's fine.
So we could just talk about that one for an hour. No,
listen, if we're going to talk about traditional disappointments, I want to take that and spin it on its ear for a second. Spencer, how is a sword made?
Well, I believe a sword is made when you take metal. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Typically an alloy, because you can't just take like a big piece of steel. Like it's got to be finely tempered and layered, right? You got to take it. You got to melt a bunch of that down. You have to get somebody who's super skilled to build like, or you know what? You don't. Let's just say you're buying a budget sword. Budget sword buyer that you are.
You call Bob Diaco.
You still got to get right. You call Bob Diaco. He goes up to his smelter in the back. You take a bunch of metal, right? And then he makes you the civil conflict of swords, right? They may not be the best, but it's basically a big piece of metal that's been hammered into a long shape and then given a sharp edge, correct?
Now, I want to go back there. Hammered against what?
Usually an anvil.
Yeah.
Right?
And now let's think of the humble anvil for a second here. It's immobile. It's not particularly useful as a weapon itself. But it's an essential part of the sword-making process. Without it, you have no sword. And if we think of this national championship game as the ultimate sword fight, where two teams will battle in a way that you don't throw a sword, so it kind of fits here as well, Tennessee is that anvil, okay? Both of these teams strengthened on the immobile, sad, slightly burnt anvil that is Tennessee Volunteer football. They wouldn't be here without the opportunity to just pound and pound and pound and pound against Tennessee to get sharper. So how sharp? So sharp that they went like a combined 100-7 against the Vols. But that's a step on the journey is all I'm saying. Like, you know, even the lowliest orc that gets killed first in a Lord of the Rings movie, he's part of the process, man. Go Vols.
It's an admirable way to look at it, right? but like, damn, what does that make Vandy? Vandy's when you're like,
Vandy's the bellows, okay?
Is Vandy the water you just dunk it into afterwards? Like, gives no resistance, just cools them off. Because at least Tennessee's offering some resistance. Vandy? I don't know, man. You're like water. You just flow on to that job with a VC firm.
Or I think Vandy's just like the sword website, where it's just like you point and click, and yeah, deal's done. You got a sword. That was all the work you had to put in.
Yeah. I think in this, it just for reference, I think Florida in this would be the sword pyramid scheme that did not go well and resulted in the arrests of 8 in the Gatlinburg area in 1998.
You made a gun.
No, it's a sword that shoots bullets. It's different. It's not a gun. It's a sword that shoots bullets. Meaning you hold it by the blade. It's bad for everyone.
That's amazing.
Really want to use it.
We should discuss a few things about, you know, the game.
Sure.
Which is this? My number one question is: do we think either team scoring more than like 24?
Yeah, I do. I think there will be at least one special teams play or defensive scoring play or somebody getting like a short field or something. And I think like somebody will probably breach 30.
Last time they played, what was it, like 32-28, something like that?
Well, the last time they played was when Bama just the actual last time they played, or
the last time last play that mattered.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that sounds right. That would have been the 2012 SEC championship, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a close game, admittedly, with I think a very different Georgia offense in a lot of ways. Like, actually, in some respects, this offense is better than the one that they faced.
Okay.
Oh, all right. I only say that because this is just, if you have two running backs, and you can average a pretty healthy, like, strop in terms of pace, in terms of how many yards you get, it's just a little easier. That's if you can get it. If you can't, it's worse, right? Like, if you're, okay, our quarterback didn't have to make some stuff happen. That might happen. If your running backs are getting stuffed, man, there's not too many plays I can call for you, right? Other than, I don't know, toss, zone, ISO, off top, okay, counter. And none of it's working. Jason got to the question I want to ask, which is why on earth we think a pro-style running attack, or at least like a sort of non-quarterback run game, has any chance against this defense? Because I know that you rarely beat Alabama. I know that you rarely move the ball. And I know that you rarely rush for more than 100 yards on them, even if you have two running backs. But I know that the teams who've done it, not exactly your standard, like, single back or pro-style run game. No, that hasn't happened, right? Everyone's hung up on, oh, man, it's the Saban assistants. Saban assistants don't beat Nick Saban. We all knew that. But the thing you can prove, like, statistically, over time, it's going to be real hard to gap them out. It's going to be real hard to see anything like what you saw against Oklahoma, where, I don't know, you get three guys shipped in the wrong way, and suddenly there are four blockers on one guy. That will not happen against Alabama. This is my nightmare about how the playoff would turn out, by the way, that Alabama would sneak in and be able to play slug ball because the one team that could give them fits would get knocked out in that first round of games, which happened.
It was Oklahoma.
When Georgia knocked out Oklahoma.
Lane Kiffin has literally said almost everything you just said, basically, that this is the matchup that they wanted. The defense was the story of the Sugar Bowl, not Clemson struggling on offense, because like Clemson looked great in the ACC championship game. Kelly Bryant had a good, the only game Clemson had lost was when they didn't have Kelly Bryant. So like we kind of easily glossed over what happened in that game. And A, it was a reflection of how amazing Deshaun Watson was and how we probably didn't appreciate him enough when he was in our sport. That said, this was still a deep team with established playmakers and coaches who knew what Alabama, like, they knew they were prepared for Alabama, and it just didn't matter. The fact that Clemson got held to 6 points and basically dick in terms of yardage should terrify Georgia fans right now, because the whole book on Alabama all year long was like, well, the defense is good, but it's not quite the same thing as it was before. And like, you can get some number, you know, you watch the Mississippi State game and you're like, yeah, you can get some, but I don't know if Georgia is the team that can do it, minus unveiling something that they haven't done. And maybe they will do that. They showed a great ability to adjust against Oklahoma. They're definitely going to have to do that if they want to beat the Tide.
So those three weak games of Alabama's this year that everyone thinks of, LSU, where, yeah, the score was lopsided, but LSU outgained Alabama, the Mississippi State game that was close, and the Auburn loss. Bama had a ton of injuries for all those, and they still have quite a few, especially at linebacker, but they've gotten a lot healthier over the last month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bama we saw against Clemson, that was quite a bit more representative of what this team has been for most of the year and will probably be during this game. You know, Georgia's going to score more than 6 points, but that was like actual Bama. So, it was fun seeing them get beat up by Auburn and all, but that was kind of their Clemson game against Syracuse. You know, everybody gets one of those per year.
Also, can I point out this, that if Alabama manages to slug or full Nelson submission grip their way to another numbing, almost entirely worthless in terms of entertainment national title game, right? Through the playoff, who did they go to get there? They went through no championship game. Ding! And they went through quarterbacks who have something very important in common. What is that?
First-year starters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they get 2 first-year starters to roll through, if that's the case. Yeah.
All our Bama gloom, let's slightly push it to the side, because Jalen Hurts is pretty fun. Jalen Hurts is like the one little sparkling side of this that it will be really interesting to see what he... Because, you know, he's definitely... He's probably the best mobile in terms of running the ball, in terms of when he decides to run the ball. He's probably the best quarterback that Georgia has faced in that regard. And they've played some mobile court, you know, the Notre Dame game, the Mississippi State game, Georgia Tech, obviously. They have faced some guys who can run, but Jalen Hurts is a big dude. Just a big, 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 big man. It's unsettling sometimes. He's not Cam Newton big, but he's kind of like your if you were ordering if Cam Newton is the soda you order for yourself, Jalen Hurts is the soda you order for your 10-year-old.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. But I think that's right. If the soda you'd order for your 10-year-old was also a high school powerlifting champion,
right.
Right,
because it's the soda you'd order for your 10-year-old if you live in Georgia or Alabama.
does this have androstenedione in it? Jesus, that's straight up steroids. Damn right.
Raise them right. Go Dogs.
The Tide need help. The Tide are going to need him in 8 years.
They're going to need him. You give him big Papa pumps, big signature, un-FDA licensed, performance enhancing. Though technically not performance enhancing, because that would open us to a different spectrum of legal liability and scientific oversight beverage.
Now, let's stop with prognostication. Let's move straight to what outcome will cause maximum pain and anguish in the college football universe. I think it's probably Georgia winning. And here's why.
Okay.
Because A, here's how I'm going to run through it. A, it's going to infuriate Alabama fans because now they've seen their team lose two consecutive national title games under Nick Saban. Both happened after Lane Kiffin left. No. Maybe he was the magic boy the whole time. And they have to do it at the hand. Now you have the whole disciple thing turned on its head. Now you have, is Kirby the chosen one? Is he the chubbiest, most special Padawan of them all? That's number one. Number two, Georgia, as we all know, has like 12 rivals. So Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, probably throw in South Carolina in there just for the hell of it. All will be furious because they have to watch their rival win a national championship game for the first time in, coming up on 40 years. So that's painful, especially because it's happened so quickly. Auburn gets to feel that double deeply because they beat Georgia. Oh, how did this happen? We beat the damn dogs. Let's see. We can get Notre Dame shoehorned in here. They'll be furious because they probably had the best chance to make this happen. They probably had the best chance to keep Georgia out of the playoff altogether. It is kind of fascinating to imagine what would have happened if Notre Dame beat Georgia, the rest of the season plays out as it is, and now we have a two-loss SEC championship game, SEC champion that we have to decide. Is Bama still getting in? And if they are...
Just put Bama at three. Put Bama at three at the dogs at four. Bama just moving on up.
Yeah, it asks a lot of like weird questions. I feel like that's a good amount of frustration that we get to generate across college football. Whereas Alabama winning is just sort of like, yeah, Bama won another national championship. We're all like kind of.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think this is the year that you get that reaction. I think if Bama wins, you see just openly, not my president. Just people refusing. Like they're already online, at least people are.
But why? Just because they don't think Alabama should have been in the playoff in the first place?
There's that, yeah.
And they just held the number one seed to 6 points. Like everybody said the same shit about Ohio State the first year of the playoff, and then they beat Alabama, and nobody said dick about it anymore. Nobody was listening to TCU and Baylor fans.
There wasn't this shiny undefeated object that you could point at and say like, okay, no, I like that one better because it's not the SEC.
Also, and let me
the way it broke down, the committee really fucked this one up. If you're trying to bury the undefeated non-power team, don't let them play the team that beat two semifinalists. Because if they pull off this win, now you have this like, you know, it's the kind of argument that you can sell as like bigger evidence than it is. UCF beat Georgia. UCF beat Auburn, which beat Georgia, and beat Alabama. That sounds really, really tidy. The committee shouldn't have done that.
This is why they put TCU and Boise in a bowl game, in a BCS game, just so they could be like, no pelts for you, sorry.
Just have UCF play Penn State. If UCF beats Penn State, this whole thing, no one, it doesn't take off.
Okay, give me the name of the biggest, dumbest, cruelest, stupidest billionaire. Like, just in theory.
Donald Trump.
Okay, cool.
He said billionaire.
Oh, he said billionaire, yeah.
Misheard.
Yeah. Okay, if I just said the line and is followed. I don't want to do that, Bama. I don't dislike him that much. Okay, so I'll just pick a random one. Mark Zuckerberg. Okay.
Okay.
Definitely not someone who's contributed to the downfall of society and is miserable and awful and crappy like a Walmart for the brain. No, Mark Zuckerberg wins the lottery. Like that's what this would be, right? This is, look, Bama gets another one. And we get a reinforcement of the most dismal way to coach and play the game. This suffocating, horrible, talent frittering. Yeah, I'm sure.
Why is that not true of Georgia?
That's not true of Georgia for one reason. Okay? And that one is this. When was the last time Georgia was even here? When was the last time Georgia?
No. I agree with that. But if we're just saying that it rewards this, punishing, slow, grind you until your bones are paste brand of football that we don't like, that we're saying that that's the case. It doesn't matter who wins. I mean, Alabama has thrown, I believe, more passes this year than Georgia. Yeah, Alabama's thrown 27 more passes this year than Georgia has.
I don't know, man. Georgia just gave the world a 100-point Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put that for some reason.
And they threw the ball 29 times in a double overtime game.
Yeah.
Efficiency.
That's fine.
They threw for 210 yards.
I would say this. Statistically, not that much different. In fact, maybe more exaggerated version of that on paper. And when you watch it, it's entirely different. I can't exactly explain why. It's different. You know what else makes it different? Bama's got like 38 national titles. That's the number we're focusing on today. 38. Go find them, okay? Georgia's got 2. And the last one happened when neither of you were alive.
Thank God.
Okay? I remember it. And I remember the aftermath. Do you know what the aftermath was? 25 years of delusion.
So here we go.
So here we go. This is my favorite thing. Because, okay, hypothetical. Let's say Kirby pulls this off. It could be the worst thing that ever happened to him. Okay?
Well, because no, he'll pull it off. He'll just get the New York Giants job. It's fine.
Oh, and then what? We get 10 years of him never doing this again. Right? We get 10 years of, well, I can't believe I can't get like two basically perfect running backs, the schedule to lay right, everyone else to suck when I need him to suck in order to just steamroll them. I don't know. A 9-6 game in the national title to win it. Right? Because that's what you want a sign that this is actually turned, right? You want like, man, Georgia beat them 34-8. Right? We made Nick Saban quit. Yeah, we made Nick Saban quit.
Nick Saban cry.
Dogs are back. Saban's Dogs crying. Are back.
Nick Saban takes the Arizona job, just slinks off.
And like I'm not saying Kirby can't do that, right? I'm not saying that it has to be one or the other. You could get a Midland version where they win it this year and it never happens again. Because guess what? I've seen better coaches do that. Right?
Sure.
Like, yeah, I've seen better coaches do that in like year two or year three. And it never quite pans out.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher just fucking left Florida State. He had a contract that literally gave him no reason to leave. He continued to dominate recruiting in the state. Bud could get on here and give us the 18 different things he needed to do, but he would have been allowed to do all of them. He could have fired any assistant he wanted. There was like, that was his program. He had the latitude and the built up cred and the, I think, reasonable excuses of what happened this year to weather that storm fine. And he just said, nope, moving on.
Nah. Out.
So Kirby Smart, head coach of the Longhorns by 2025.
Well, that'll be awkward since Texas will be in the SEC by then. But yeah, I guess so. I guess that'll work.
I mean, I will just say this. If you assume that this is the kind of thing where you go, oh man, Kirby stole the ring. He's the keeper now. Okay. You can go ahead and assume that. Go back and look at what Alabama's done under Nick Saban. That's a singular quantity, right? Go back and look. This is the one that just, like, if you just go, oh, man, like, historically, the one that just is so baffling to me. Like, Mac Brown, we joke about Mac. Mac's a good coach. And you know what he was in charge of? All the money. In the most like football crazy state in the union. And you know how many he got? Uno. Uno. That's it. And he got a shot at another. That's it. These are rare, right? Alabama fans, you're mutants. You have a skewed understanding of reality because this is like an every other year thing for you.
Pete Carroll did it without a ton of recruiting challenges around him. Like, Alabama still has to recruit against Auburn and Georgia and LSU and Florida and Clemson. Tennessee and Clemson and, like, Florida State. The list goes on and on. Like, Southern California kids, especially in 2001 to 2005 or so, like, you were going to USC if you wanted to stick, if you wanted to stay close. There was nowhere else you were considering. Pete won two, and they're not counting. They're not really counting them all at this point.
Yeah, and you can start going through the list of talent that did that. And that, like, going through the, like, players who were on those teams. Go look at near-miss teams and look at the list of players who are on those near-miss teams, right? It's an obscenity when you start looking through it and go, hi, yeah, I don't, man. Like, that's, I mean, and as recently as Jimbo, they had it all. They had dudes who, they had every recruit in Florida for a while, right? Every major recruit who did not play cornerback, linebacker, defensive line, because Will Muschamp can spot those. Yeah. And they got one.
So how many titles would you bet on Kirby winning at Georgia?
Oh, based on their current matchup and on based
on where they are today.
Is Nick Saban still coaching a conference? Because I have that anticipated number. Zero. That's the number. Zero. Do you know how many Dan Mullen's going to get at Florida based on current lineups?
Yeah.
Zero. Right? You know how many Jeremy Pruitt's going to get? Oh, can I get negative? Can he have one subtracted from him that he didn't? Yeah. Take one off the board. It's not happening as long as Alabama's around.
I'll put him down for two.
You put him down for two?
they've overtaken Bama's place on the recruiting pecking order. You know, this class at least. Class has a shot to be one of the five highest rated ever. Already got, like, you know, just five-star on five-star in the quarterback room. I don't know, man. They set up to take over. They really do.
Maybe. You might be right. That said, college football is a cruel and inhuman place. It really is. It really, really is. Let's do some ad reads for charity, shall we?
Yeah, I got one. As if this whole thing hasn't been unpleasant enough for Auburn, I got one from Elliot, who donated to Hurricane Relief back when we did this. He says, Michael Dyer was down, which, sorry, Auburn folks. That's the truth. Auburn, Michael Dyer was down. It doesn't matter, though. You still claim the title, so what do you care what I say? What if facts matter? You got your ring.
It all worked out. Ian wants to remind the world that we should be grateful that the 1AA powerhouse that was the Boston University Terriers football team shut down in 1996 instead of evolving to the obvious powerhouse they would be today, making lower-tier ACC and Big Ten teams extremely uncomfortable in non-conference games. I have a weird respect for teams, for programs that at some point were just like, let's not do this. Let's just shut it. Let's use that. Let's use those scholarships and that money for something else. It's fine. College football is great. There's a lot of it. There probably doesn't need to be even more of it at this point. I think that's okay. I think it's fine that BU just said, we're good. We did this for like 100 years and a little bit came of it. Nothing much. All right. Let's move on to something else. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Terriers.
Yeah. I have one from Track. I believe is how you say his name, T-R-E-C. If possible, it would be great to hear each of you say your favorite or most absurd Steve Spurrier quote using your most HBC-est impression. It's what sold me on the podcast years ago. Oh, you ready for this? You want me to just carry them all?
See how many you can do. Have a great time.
Okay, here we go. I'm good. This is good. This was concerning Auburn's football dorm that burned 20 school books. Real tragedy was at 15, hadn't been colored yet. On Peyton Manning, I know why Peyton came back for his senior year. He wanted to be a 3-time star of the Citrus Bowl.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got two more. Two more. Which is when he was asked to submit a resume to former athletic director Jeremy Foley to reapply for the Florida job on the firing Ron's. Well, you know, my resume, you can go look down in that trophy case there. That's what he actually said. And lastly, maybe my favorite quote of his, just philosophically, of all of them, was on his offense to the Gators. Guy who said defense wins championships hasn't watched us a lot. Those are my favorite.
There's one good one you're missing. That's way back. Way back when Steve Spurrier was at Duke. Mm-hmm. And who was at UNC at the time? Mack Brown. So mm-hmm. Duke beats UNC at UNC. And mm-hmm. Steve Spurrier has the team take a photo at midfield. And Mack Brown says that Steve Spurrier is classless. Spencer, give me that Mack Brown. Give me Mack Brown saying Steve Spurrier is classless, and I'm going to give you the Steve Spurrier response.
Well, I mean, I believe it. You know, with the University of North Carolina, where my accent's slightly different because I picked up a Texas accent once I got to Texas, but this is me doing it in the present. Anyway, you know, the Tar Heels, we believe in doing things a certain way, and I wasn't real happy with the way Steve Spurrier did that. I mean, frankly, I thought it was classless.
Why? I've got a better record on that field than he does. That's what Steve Spurrier said. He's a mean man.
Didn't he used to call him like Mr. February?
Mr. Football.
Yeah, Mr. Football. He used to call him Mr. February too, just because that's when he won, right? Like signing day, be like, Mack Brown signs a bunch of 5-stars to go to North Carolina. Spurrier's like, okay. We'll see how that goes in September, October, maybe when we meet him in November.
A few shout outs to Gerald Wearing, Eric Johns, Christian Hoppins, Ben Rafael. Thank you all for donating. Let's wrap this with predictions. The most unimportant part of literally any sports content that can be possible. Please predict this game that we are all going to watch either way and that you shouldn't listen to us. Because we're almost always wrong, except the Sandman. So, Sandman, you can go first.
So, my record this season picking SEC games has been perfect, flawless, unparalleled, as listeners surely all agree. No one can recall any I got wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
This happens to be an SEC game. It's not really supposed to be, but it is. So I'll go ahead and apply that SEC picking wisdom to the fucking national title game, as mm-hmm. stupid as that is. I'm going to go ahead and say Georgia is going to win the football game.
Wow.
I'm telling y'all, the baton is being passed.
Okay.
In the great relay race of unwatchable football.
Okay. Spencer?
Alabama 24-10.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, it'll be awful. It'll be awful too. It'll be the worst. It'll be the worst thing you watch all year.
They should have you be the person in the hospital who tells people their family member has died in a car. Because you're just like, hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, his head cleanly severed. You're definitely gonna have to do closed casket. Like we don't. What I'm telling you is we don't know where the head is. That's what I'm telling you. I have to go now. I'm Dr. Spencer Hall.
Not like the doc. You know, I'm not even a doctor. They just hand me the news and I walk in.
That man in a tank top just told me that Jerry's dead.
Yeah. What? You want me to tell you that there's like a gentle way that your man got his head crushed in a vice in an industrial accident? No, I'm going to lay it out for you. Okay.
Yeah. We think he was masturbating. Okay. Yeah. You should know that.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Let's see. Your husband, he died. Okay, you want to know how he died? Shot himself. You know why? He is embezzling. Who from? Your dad, who he worked for. It's going to be fucked up. Sorry. That's my job. I got to go over there and tell that kid that his dad died, okay, when he was run over by an elephant, which will simultaneously ruin his life, but stimulate his interest in zoology. It's a busy day, and I got a lot of index cards to read, okay? Alabama 24-10.
Jesus. I will stick with my preservation technique, which worked out well in the semifinals, where both teams I did not want to win did. So Georgia, yes, Georgia is going to win the national championship. And more importantly, that does mean we'll probably get another video. I hope during the postseason trophy presentation, or the postgame trophy presentation, of Alabama destroying the runner-up trophy, because second is for bitches and cowards! Britain came in second! What are you, fucking British?
That's what, that's all we're doing, man. We're just telling all the ways Alabama can't do it, right? You know what? At 2 o'clock, doesn't exist. Go straight to 3 o'clock, okay? Don't want anything to do with second. All right?
As hard as it is, imagine Nick Saban playing this podcast for his team as motivational material.
I think it would backfire. They'd be a little too confused to focus on how pissed off they are.
Well, the grocery clerk and the chipper girl both picked Georgia. You hear that?
And you know who picked you? The communist. Okay, that's the only people believing in you. That's sick and twisted, ain't it? You got like old busted ass QT coffee drinking Trotsky over here, picking your team.